नारायण नमस्ते चानुरु चैव नरोत्तमम् देवीं सरस्वती व्यासं ततोजयम् उदीरयत् नष्ट प्रायस्व बाधेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवाया भागवतं तमस्तुके भक्तिर्भवति नैष्ठिकी जय। हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे, हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे, हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे, हरे कृष्ण। सो वी कंटिन्यू दिस आफ्टरनून विथ द समरीज एंड कमेंट्री ऑन द डिफरेंट चैप्टर्स ऑफ भगवद गीता। This afternoon, we're in chapter 15, and that's entitled Yoga of the Supreme Person. Yoga of the Supreme Person. In Bhagavad Gita, the summary of this is, and I'll read it word for word, the ultimate purpose of Vedic knowledge, the ultimate purpose of Vedic knowledge is to detach oneself from the entanglement of the material world, and to understand Lord Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. One who understands Krishna's supreme identity surrenders to Him and engages in His devotional service. So that's what covers chapter 15. The ultimate purpose of Vedic knowledge is to cut off or become detached from the material world and its entanglement. That's one. And also to understand that Krishna still Bhagavan Swayam. He is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And one who understands Krishna's supreme identity, his position, surrenders unto him and engages in his devotional service. So, Yoga of a Supreme Person starts off with an analogy, material and the spiritual world, given an analogy by using the banyan tree. Banyan tree, when you get time, Google banyan tree and see how big it is. It's quite huge, and its roots are huge, and this banyan tree, in the first text, the translation says, it is said there is an imperishable banyan tree that has its roots upward and its branches down. So if you can imagine that, normally for any tree in the soil, the roots are in the soil, and the rest of the tree is up, all the way up to the tip of it. So this is described with its roots upward and its branches down, which means the tree is upside down. The material world is upside down, the spiritual world. yeah, it starts off like that. Whose leaves, they are the Vedic hymns, and one who knows this tree is the knower of the Vedas. Now, what really has been described when it says that its roots are upward and its branches are down, obviously is describing a tree that's upside down. Now, normally, if you have a tree that is close to a river, like a bank of a river, so you can see the image of the tree. The tree will be obviously right side of roots in this soil and up, but if you look at the reflection, it will be the opposite, down. Okay, so what it's telling us is that the material world is a reflection of the spiritual world, but not a complete and wonderful reflection, precise reflection. That is not here. It's a perverted reflection. If you go back to the summary, it says the ultimate purpose of understanding the Vedas is to cause one to detach oneself from entangling with this upside down tree. life in the material world. We are here in the material world, true enough. But the idea here is that we are to detach ourselves by first understanding that we really don't belong here in the material world. Number two, no matter what you do, there will be some sort of suffering because the four troublesome situations are birth, death, old age, and disease. No birth in the spiritual world, no death in the spiritual world, no old age in the spiritual world, and no disease in the spiritual world. None of them are in the spiritual world. So many things are in perfection in the spiritual world. We may have the perverted image of it here. But those four things are not in the spiritual world at all. The souls are in the spiritual world. Everything in the spiritual world, as the name says, is spiritual. So we're talking about souls interacting. Well, souls are part and parcel of Krishna. Krishna has been there forever. And therefore, he has no beginning, we have no beginning. So there's no question of a soul being born. Soul just simply appears here in the material world. The soul does come here if we are condemned to leave the spiritual world. Yes, then the soul appears in the body of the female aspect of whatever species are there. 8,400,000 different types of bodies that are available. The soul can appear in there. The body gets born along with the soul. Becomes of. And there are different types of births in different species. And the Vedas always surprises us by telling us more than sometimes even science doesn't know. There are those that are born from seeds, that's plants. Those that are born from eggs, usually birds. Those that are born from embryos, as humans. And there's one more. Those that are born from sweat. I was never taught that in school. I can tell you that. That would be the little germs and so on. That's their birth. As a matter of fact, Srila Prabhupada says, and you have experience of this if you think about it, that insects are born from heat. First it is heat, but of course heat is what causes us to sweat. So, as soon as we get summer, and all of these insects that are not around in the winter, they appear. So, those are the different types of birth, but it's the soul occupying those different bodies in the material world. Why? Well, we go through what we want to do in the material world based on our desires. When our desires are distinct from Krishna's desires, and when our service is to ourselves rather than devotionally to satisfy Krishna's senses, then we wind up in the place like this. Now, the good news is, we are practicing bhakti, devotional service. We may well be in the material world now, but all of us don't have much longer to stay here. None of us has much longer to stay here. There are non-devotees that have spent thousands of lifetimes here and will spend thousands more, even millions. So you can look at our situation as, we'll come back to some perishable magnitude in a minute. Our situation as, like, the material world is a huge stadium. And a whole lot of people are in there, doing all kinds of things, trying to satisfy the senses. And devotees are the ones that have been told that there is a gate in a particular direction. And how to move between all of these people and get to the gate. The process is what's called devotional service. And the main one is, for this Kali Yuga, chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So they get out of this difficult, troublesome area, which I just said stadium, so you can imagine. The devotees are close to the gate. Everybody else doesn't even realize the gate is there. There's only devotees. So we don't have much longer to stay here. Materially, as far as our physical bodies, yes, we're spread all over the whole world. But spiritually, the situation that the transcendental system Christianist agents are looking at is this group of individuals in human bodies are close to the gate. And the closer you are to the gate, the higher the chance of you getting out after you leave this body. So that's our situation. And so as long as we stay with this process, and especially take it seriously, the more seriously we take our devotion, the closer we are to the gate. The less seriously we take our devotion, we're still around, but not as close. But all devotees are in the gate area though. Because they have been told how to get out. Go back to Godhead. When you open the gate, outside the gate, spiritual world. That's our situation. Therefore, we are in the material world now, and of course there's suffering condition, but we definitely can look forward to the day that individually we'll be given the chance to go through the gate and to get out. Part of what you do is you hear and you also chant, as we're doing right now, hearing. So, the purpose of Vedic knowledge is to detach oneself from the entanglement of material world and get close to the gate. To understand that Krishna's home is outside the gate. And once we get out, we will in fact be able to associate with him and all of the devotees who never left the spiritual world. So, the banyan tree, the upside down reflection of the real tree. Srila Prabhupada says, the origin from where the reflection came, that's eternal. The right side up tree, the right side up, that's spiritual. The material reflection of a tree has to be cut off. That is our function. That should be our aim. How to get away from this material reflection of the real tree. The material reflection makes us think that, oh, there's this. The only reflection is picture. You can see something in there. And if you go dabble with that, then of course you live life like an non-devotee, and that's troublesome. It's confusing. Sometimes many people know there's something wrong. There's something wrong with the political system, there's something wrong with the economic system. But nobody realizes that the farther away that people get from spirituality, the more confusing life is. So, the purpose of the Vedas as disclosed by the personality of Godhead himself is to cut down this reflected tree and attain the real tree of the spiritual world. So we'll talk about some parts of this chapter 15, the important, well, some sections of it, because it's pretty long, it's 20 texts, so we won't go through all of it. Now, a little description is given by Krishna about this tree. The branches of this tree extend downward and upward. Downward and upward. Nourished by the three modes of material nature. So now we're talking about the pervaded reflection. The twigs are the object of the senses. The tree also has roots going down, which means if he says upward, and his branches extend upward, extend downward. Now if you imagine the tree going upward with branches going up and going down, the first word that comes to your mind is confusion. Confusion. Right? So, Srila Prabhupada describes a little bit now, putting all of the living entities in the material world on this tree in different positions. So you see, Prabhupada says in the lower part of this reflection, there are manifestations of living entities. Animals, horses, like cows, dogs, cats, and you know, other birds and so on, they are situated in the lower parts of the branches, and then if you go up, the upper parts are where the demigods and the Gandhavas and so on live. This tree is nourished, normally any tree is nourished by water, but this tree is nourished by the three modes of material nature: goodness, passion, and ignorance. So, Srila Prabhupada says, by development of the different modes of nature, we develop different senses, and by the senses, we enjoy different varieties of sense objects. So here's the situation in the material world, in this upside down, perverted reflection of a real tree. The senses that are developed in any physical body, it depends on what we desire. Our desires give us a particular body, and then the senses come with that particular body. So as we know, different physical forms may have the same type of senses, but they have a little bit more of some or degree, you know, compared to others. For example, a vulture. So Prabhupada describes miles away, they can sense a dead body and they can fly from that to that point and actually get that dead body. A dog can hear very high notes that humans cannot hear. Okay. So different senses are prominent in terms of their activity or their effects from one to another. The Srila Prabhupada is describing here that is all based on what we want or what we desire. But from one lifetime to another, we put the soul, when we say we, the soul is put in different types of bodies. In text 3 and 4 together, they'll read the translation. The real form of this tree cannot be perceived in this world. No one can understand where it ends, where it begins, or where its foundation is. But with determination, one must cut down this strongly rooted tree with the weapon of detachment. Thereafter, one must seek that place from which, having gone, one never returns, and there surrender to that Supreme Personality of Godhead from whom everything began and whom everything has extended since time immemorial. So Krishna is telling us that the real tree we can't perceive here. We only have the upside down and messed up in terms of his image. But that's what we have here. And so we have to be detached from it. We may be in this material world, but as is said in different religions, well, this world is not our home. Don't get attached to this place. Do what you can in terms of material things. So material things, you do what's necessary to maintain the body. But your aim should be involving ourselves in spirituality and being around those who are doing the same thing, which means association of devotees. Very, 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 very important. You can't do spirituality by yourself, because Maya will in fact attack you. If I'm by myself, I can't do it, because Maya will actually seek a place to get in, to change my mind. It even happened to very, very advanced souls like Bharat Maharaj. And Bharat Maharaj is the son of Maharaj Yashapati, who himself is an incarnation of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Such a high birth. Maharaj Yashapati was a king. And still, When Bharat Maharaj, Maharaj Shabadev left the kingdom, Bharat Maharaj was the one that actually was the next king. And he left when he was older, up there in age, in order to devote full time and leave administration of Kshatriya work behind and concentrate on bhakti. Still, when he went to the forest, a situation happened where a young deer was almost drowned. He saw what was happening. He went in the water, got the deer, and the mother died. Mother had died, therefore there was no one to care for the deer. So he cared for the deer, but he grew fond of the deer and stopped doing his devotion service. Bharat Maharaj, the son of Maharaj Shabadev, the Supreme Personality of Godhead's incarnation. Why? Well, Sri Radha Maharaj is going to lecture that he said, if only someone else was with him in the forest, if only someone else was with him, could have reminded him, Maharaj, you left the administration to come here to involve yourself full-time in bhakti. And now you're caring for a deer full-time. Not that caring for the deer was bad, but caring for the deer and stopping your devotion service. So he went from spiritual consciousness to full material consciousness and attachment to a deer. And so when he died, he was thinking about the deer, and he took a body of a deer. That's what happens. So we need association very much. Never take the association we have here lightly. It is actually our security in Krishna consciousness, being around other devotees. Non-devotees will never remind us of Krishna. They won't. It's not their thing. It's just, they are eating meat and so on, things that we stay away from, they do. And so being around each other and encouraging each other is very, very, very important. So, Srila Prabhupada says, when entangled with the material expansions of this tree, then one cannot see how far the tree extends. But one has to find out the cause by extrapolation. And this is a mathematical term, but it's defined nicely here. For example, everybody knows that they have a father, and their father also has a father, the grandfather, and so on. So we can search that way. One father has a son has a father, or a daughter has a father, and he has a father, and he or she, so on, until we get to the one main father for this material world, and that is Lord Brahma. Okay. And who's Lord Brahma's father? Garbhodakshaya Vishnu. And that way, when you search like that, then we get to the Supreme Personality of God, Godhead. So this Srila Prabhupada says that we can trace our steps back to the spiritual world. Aham sabhasya prabhava mata sabham prabhasate iti matva bhajantima Buddha Bhava Samanvita. Bhagavad Gita chapter 10, text 8. Krishna says, I'm the origin of everything. Everything emanates from me. So the wise who are aware of that, they give their hearts and do all the activities in devotion service to me. Just paraphrasing what basically this means. So, Srila Prabhupada said, therefore, to get out of the entanglement of this strong banyan tree of material life, one must surrender to Krishna. And as soon as one surrenders to Krishna, then one becomes automatically detached from this material extension. Now, Krishna is the source of everything, material and spiritual. As we said here, I'm the origin of everything. That means material and spiritual. In one more text, he says, those who are free from false prestige, illusion, and false association, who understand the eternal and who are done with material lusts and freed from the dualities of happiness and distress, and who, unbewildered, know how to surrender to the Supreme Person, they go to that eternal kingdom. Those who are free from false prestige, illusion, and false association. False prestige, false ego. False ego identifying the body with the self. And we know we're not these bodies. But when we do things based on identifying the body as the self, and so many times we do it, sometimes not even realizing that we're doing that. Yes, I'm a devotee. I like coming to the temple, but this particular race people, I'm not so comfortable with them. As soon as you think that way, you're at the body level. Immediately you're at the body level. And the problem is, this international society, so people say, oh, but why? Yeah, well, these people are more hygienic than others. Material reason, right? These people are this way, those people are that way. Therefore, I don't like to be around them. In Maya, immediately. We are all devotees. We are all at the gate. We are all chanting the same Hare Krishna mantra. That is the most important thing. If you look at any other thing apart from that, and you come up with a reason why you don't like, that reason is going to be material, 100%. Material reason. And then you just attach to that, and the mind says, yes, 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 you're right. These people are that way. Those people are that way. On and on and on and on. That's why we're told we should look for the good qualities of a person. And literally overlook the qualities that are of lower nature. Why? It looks like, oh, but it's like saying, all right, I'm going to play devil's advocate with myself. But the person has bad qualities, it's obvious. And it disturbs us. All right. What about us? Do we have bad qualities? Be honest with ourselves, do we? The answer is, unless you're pure devotee, the answer is yes. So actually, one way of looking at qualities that are not so great, that disturbs us, is the person, we're talking about devotees now, the person has some sickness. So if you change the mentality to the person is, from the person is a bad person or does some things about them I don't like, to a person who wants to go home, is chanting Hare Krishna, he comes to temple, but he has some disease. Nagu Maharaj, Bhaktivinoda Maharaj, one time made comment of the different dharms, centers, like they are spiritual hospitals. But now what happens in hospitals? Diseases are treated. Now if you go to any hospital, and the patients are there, and they are sick, are you going to get mad at them because they are sick? No, you're going to feel sorry for them. It's the opposite. You're going to feel sorry for them. So when anyone realizes there are low qualities of someone, it's not a question of making a big show of it or making a big mantra about it. It's a question of helping to elevate that person. If you think that your certain qualities are better, then you show that by example. By example. And people do notice. Sometimes actions speak louder than words, as you well know. So then if we approach it that way, then we can help others slowly to also come to the level of moral goodness. Because from there, the one becomes go to the mode of transcendence. That's by instruction. We've been told what to do, how to serve, how to chant. Those are there. Those are all spiritual. And even if we don't have, we're not at the point where our hearts are really, really into it, but we're doing it because we're obeying the spiritual master's instruction to do it, slowly we'll get up to that point. But it's a question of not playing too much into negativity. talk to the mind. I have as many faults as this person. Even have, maybe have more faults than this person that I'm seeing something about. And so, literally, pulling away and only talking about positive things will in fact clean our mind, cleanse our hearts, and then we will in fact be slowly getting out. This is also part of getting out, detangling ourselves or removing ourselves from the material world. It's also very much part of it. Not thinking too badly about other people or thinking that this is a sickness. Therefore, I have to help this person heal or direct this person. Or if I don't have that sickness, then I should actually be around and show that by example so that they also can pick up. Now, in the middle part of chapter 15, Krishna establishes what exactly this title is, Yoga of the Supreme Person. Mamayvamsa jiva loke jiva bhuta sanatana manasistani indriyani prakatistani kashati. The living entities in this conditioned world are my eternal fragmental parts. We are all part and parcel of Krishna. But because we have chosen the conditioned life, we are struggling very hard with the senses and the mind. So, the living entity is in a situation where they could get out, but they choose to struggle in the material world. Krishna says, I am the topmost of everything. So, the foolish people, which is text 10, cannot understand how a living entity can quit his body, nor can they understand what sort of body he enjoys under the spell of the modes of nature. But one whose eyes are trained in knowledge can see all of this. In other words, non-devotees are put in a situation where they think the solutions will come from this material world. And they're so deceived, because now, especially in the advanced countries, one electronic gadget after another comes out, and everything is more convenient. They play up all those things, but does it improve our lives? Does it make us happy? No. If you think you'll be happy with another one that is better than the one before, that happiness won't last long. You'll realize that you're back in the same situation, that your solution, your problems really have not been taken away, and maybe the gadget is giving you another way to forget about the struggles of life a little bit by some more programs that are in there. But after a while, you see, you're just back in the same situation and your life really has not improved. Krishna is the supreme controller and the source of everything. Krishna says, the splendor of the sun, which dissipates the darkness of this whole world, the sun's splendor comes from me, the splendor of the moon comes from me, the splendor of fire comes from me. Krishna, even now, he puts himself in the material world, even the things in the material world are all from him. So, in 13, text 13, he says, I enter into each planet, and by my energy, they stay in orbit. People cannot find out how the planets are orbiting in such a wonderfully arranged way in the universe. But he says, by my energy, they stay in orbit. So, Krishna supplies everything materially for us. In 14, text 14, he says, I'm the fire of digestion in the bodies of all living entities. And I join with the air of life outgoing and coming, incoming to digest the four kinds of foodstuffs. So he's talking now in detail that the planetary situations, they are from him, he keeps them in orbit, and even every individual that eats, the fire of digestion in the bodies are also Krishna. He's the cause of everything. And then in 15 he says, I'm seated in everyone's heart, and from me comes remembrance, knowledge, and forgetfulness. Sava satam hirishani vishto mata smriti gyanam aparapcha. I'm seated in everyone's heart as a super soul, of course. And from me come remembrance, knowledge, and forgetfulness. So it becomes very interesting. Krishna says, from him come remembrance, knowledge, and forgetfulness. Now think about that. Knowledge, remembrance, and forgetfulness. So there is something in this world we call IQ, right? Intelligence quotient. Krishna says, from me come remembrance, knowledge, and forgetfulness. So if you are a student, you're studying in school, you have exams. And some people say, well, this person is quite smart. They get these good grades and the transcript shows that they are doing quite well. Krishna says, from me come remembrance, knowledge, and forgetfulness. So that person has a high IQ? No. You may think they do, but Krishna's argument is, remembrance, knowledge, and forgetfulness come from me. Therefore, in a typical test that a person is taking, if Krishna does not help that person to remember what they've studied, would they be able to answer questions well? No. Remembrance and forgetfulness are controlled. They come from Krishna. Therefore, it is better a devotee knowing that, no matter what they study, they should also appeal to the Lord to help them. That's what it boils down to. Let me tell you a story. This happened in India. Radha Maharaj told this story. He said, in IIT, Indian Institute of Technology, very, very, very highly competitive, and people who go to students really, really, the parents help them do their best to study like anything to try to pass the exams. So, final exams were coming. Some of the students in IIT were also devotees. And there's a question of, well, I chant my 16 rounds, but boy, I need all the time that I need, though, in order to study for my exam, so maybe some things will have to be cut off just for that period that I'm preparing for the test. That's mine. I can tell you that. Because it's always important to put Krishna first. But anyway, here's Radha Maharaj's way he told the story. There were a couple of devotees who, no matter how hard they studied for the finals, they kept their sadhana. They chanted, they made sure that was priority. The tests it took, and then, in the end, when the results came, some of their friends found out that the devotees had done very well with the test. And so they were quite surprised. So they asked, how come you guys, I mean, what is it that you did that you did so well? Well, you know what the devotees would answer, right? Because that's mercy. And so the next time that there was a program at the temple, guess what happened? The devotees came with their friends, the known devotees, followed them to the temple. So if Krishna has helped you, then Krishna is the solution. I want to come find the solution to my exams to do well, so I want to come to the temple. So they made a few more devotees that way. So Krishna is actually the source of this. So everybody that's in school, you definitely have to keep chanting your rounds. You definitely have to keep doing as much bhakti, activity as possible. Don't let the mind tell you, oh, because this exam is coming up, that exam is coming up. If you put Krishna first, Krishna says, ye yatama padyante tam sateva bhajamya. The extent to which you surrender, I reward accordingly. Krishna knows that if you're a student, the exams are coming. But if you put bhakti as priority, sometimes the mind is going to tell you, but this, put bhakti as priority anyway, and see what Krishna will do for you, materially. Krishna talks about two classes in 16, so we're not too far from the end. It ends in chapter 20, so this is chapter 16. There are two classes of beings, fallible and infallible. In the material world, every living entity is fallible. And in the spiritual world, every living entity is called infallible. Now, the fallible and infallible means those in the spiritual world are infallible in that they don't want to come to the material world. They serve Krishna to satisfy Krishna's senses. And those in the material world are fallible because we try to serve our senses and we wound up here. That's the explanation, simple explanation for that. Then besides these two, fallible and infallible, there's the greatest living personality, text 17, the Supreme Soul, the imperishable Lord Himself, who has entered the three worlds and is maintaining them, as He described earlier. Because I'm transcendental, Krishna says, beyond both the fallible and infallible, and because I'm the greatest, I'm celebrated both in this world and in the Vedas as that Supreme Person. Krishna Stu Bhagavan Swayam. So then, he tells Arjuna, whoever knows me as the Supreme Personality of Godhead without doubting is a knower of everything. And that person will engage himself in full devotional service to me. So, chapter 15 talks about getting away from this upside down banyan tree, detaching oneself from material activities, doing only what's necessary, but spending more time associating with devotees and doing bhakti, doing devotional service. When you understand Krishna that way, that you have to serve his senses, then you completely surrender to him. So the last thing we're going to talk about before opening up questions, there are six ways of surrender, six symptoms of surrender. We hear the word surrender to me, Krishna. Sri Prabhupada says so many lectures. The problem is we don't surrender to Krishna. What is the consciousness of a person who is fully surrendered to Krishna? It's been put in six ways. One, that person performs those actions favorable to devotional service. And two, once you give up everything unfavorable for discharging devotional service. So we have to use our intelligence to say, will this help me in serving Krishna? Yes, then do it. Will this help me? No, then don't do it. Number three, one should firmly believe that Krishna will protect one in all circumstances and that no one is a better protector than Krishna himself. Nobody can protect as well as Krishna himself. Therefore, you don't need other lower gods to try to get protection from. Protection comes from Krishna. So, number four, one should have a conviction that Krishna is one's maintainer. One's maintainer. And one should not take shelter of any demigod for maintenance. But when you think about it, where do demigods get what they have anyway? They come from Krishna. Krishna is the source of everything. Aham Sarva Sya Bhava. Everything comes from Krishna. So one, perform activities favorable for devotional service. Two, give up everything unfavorable for devotional service. Then you should have the mentality, three, that Krishna will protect us in all circumstances. And four, that Krishna will maintain us. And so we don't need to go somewhere else for maintenance. Number five, one should always remember that one's activities and desires are not independent. If we say our activities, our desires are dependent, independent, our own, then it means we're saying we don't want to do what Krishna has set us up to do. And that's the way we mentally disconnect from Krishna, and then there are issues. We stay in the material world. We're stuck here. So one should always, this is number five, one should always remember that one's activities and desires are not independent. In other words, the devotee should feel completely dependent on Krishna. And so he should act and think according to what Krishna has said to do, Krishna's desires. And finally, last symptom of surrender, one should always think himself the poorest of the poor and feel totally dependent on the mercy of Krishna. So, in summary, this tree that is an upside down banyan to the reflection of the real tree is a complicated situation to try to live on. We should detach ourselves. Weapon of detachment is devotional service. And understand that the Supreme Personality of Godhead is the greatest. And once understand a person understands that, you surrender unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and this is how you get back to the spiritual world. And the symptoms are perform actions devotionally, favorable to Krishna, give up those that are unfavorable. Firmly believe that in all circumstances, Krishna will be our protector. Firmly believe that in all circumstances, Krishna will be our maintainer. One should also remember that one's activities and desires are not independent, and they should feel completely dependent on Krishna. And that we also should be dependent on the mercy of the Lord. Hare Krishna. Shri Prabhupada ki jai. Are there any questions or comments? Yes. You can ask. Is the mic on?
This question is on behalf of Dear Krishna Prabhu. He's okay. On the altar. So his question is, In your class early on, you mentioned the more serious we are, the more closer we are towards the gate, the higher our chances. So his question is, what should be our understanding about the more serious we should get and how?
The question is about how serious we should get, or how...
Understanding of what does it mean to be more serious? What's the understanding?
All right.
Yes, yes. Definition of seriousness. Yes.
Seriousness comes from the quality that we put into the devotional service that we perform. The quality. Krishna knows that we have imperfect senses. And if we have imperfect senses, we cannot do everything perfectly. But our mentality is what he looks at. Your mentality is extremely, extremely important. Why are we doing this? We're doing this to satisfy Krishna's senses. But Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Therefore, you can serve the Most Supreme. Shouldn't you put your best foot forward? That is seriousness. Putting your best foot forward. Doing everything with the best quality. So Srila Prabhupada says, every service that we do should be first class. First class means you're serious about serving the Supreme Personality of God. By the way, to develop Krishna Prema, which ties into this, love of Godhead, we have to love and respect devotees first. That's where it starts. From that, then we will develop love for Guru, spiritual master, and the spiritual master is a representative of Krishna. Therefore, the spiritual master is satisfied with how we're serving devotees and serving him, then Krishna is automatically satisfied. And when Krishna is satisfied, he will in fact crank up our devotion and love for him. So it starts off like that. So take everything that you do for devotees very seriously. And everything that's in the Shastra, the love, six ways. You give prasadam, you can also receive prasadam, but focus more on giving prasadam, because that's what you do, receiving is someone else giving to you. Give gifts, you can receive gifts, and then if something is bothering you, especially interfering with your ability to serve, then you should find someone that you can trust and open your mind up to that person. In other words, don't sit and be the judge, jury, and everything, prosecution, defense of all the situation, because you cannot beat Maya. But there should be someone that you can trust that you have to go to. And hopefully that person is someone that is going to answer you from a spiritual standpoint. So that whatever, even if it's a material thing that bothers you, but the Sanatana Goswami was an expert at that when he went to Vrindavan. Many people knew that he was from the government. He retired from the government, he came to Vrindavan. So they asked him all kinds of questions, and a good many of them were material when he was in Vrindavan. He would answer the material, but he would also put a Krishna angle to it, so that the person benefited from good wisdom, material wisdom, but then they also got Krishna consciousness added to it. So yes, our mentality should always be, we're doing this because we're learning to love devotees, we're learning to love people in general, and therefore, since Krishna will be pleased and Guru will be pleased, let me take my service very seriously. Do it with good quality. When the quality is good, it is a representation or it's an indication of seriousness. Very good question, Hare Krishna. Any other?
I have one more question. You were talking earlier about Radhanath Swami's example of the famous university in India, ITT. How this devotee was scoring so well, I believe, because he was so engaged in bhakti. Did I get it right? Yes, okay. I'm sorry.
That's okay.
I apologize. What came to my mind is when you were sharing the story about this devotee, because he was engaged in bhakti, coming to the temple, he was doing so well in school. And I think I speak for some parents. Nowadays we have children, you know, devotee kids in our community who are at the stage of wanting to go away to school. And their reason of going to school is, but I want to experience university life. But there isn't an opportunity for them for devotee association, devotional service, you know, completely away from temple. But the argument is, but I want to experience life, university life. And now using this current, you know, status of devotee turn, wanting to go away, when parents are concerned that, hey, but there's no temple, there's no devotees, there's no association, there's no service, there's no prasad, unless you go to coconut or in the dormitory. And then you have the story of this devotee that was scoring so well going to the temple. What is your advice?
Advice for?
Devotee children want to go to school because they want to experience university life, and the parents are concerned because there's no devotee association, no devotional life. And I want to add, because, and sorry to pick on Shora, but he was sharing with me when he was in boys schooling, he was so blessed that he had to go to school, but still he had devotee mangalati and devotee association for sure. So, but he was fortunate that he had school and temple, and he scored well, I'm sure. So, with our devotee children, what's your advice? I know I'm stepping close, and some kids and some parents might be saying, thank you for asking the question, but it's a valid question, I think.
Some of the points that you made were actually part of the answer to the question. Some of the points that you made yourself were part of the answer to the question. How serious, you know, is, say, a typical student, ask yourself, how serious am I with devotional service? How serious am I about getting through the gate to leave the material world? There's more than one situation for studying. There's more than one university. There's more than one situation. There's more than one type of major. So all of those are there. All of those are there. So basically what I'm saying, we have a lot of choices. And so when one person says, all right, so I need to have education, it's important. But let me, even if I have to go away from home, get to a situation where I will be able to associate with devotees. There's a devotee now here that was in Canada to come to the United States to go to university, but the parents made sure that he set up in a place where he would still have the devotee association. The devotee association is quite important. It's not the easiest thing to be away from devotees for long periods of time and hope that you're going to maintain your bhakti. It's difficult. It's difficult. It's not impossible, but it's very difficult. And so my advice is, if you're a student, you got to go to a university, put the decisions about going in terms of where and what you're going to do in such a way, put it in such a way, or come up with a way in which you will still be able to keep your association. I know you can chant. Chanting can be done everywhere. But when association is absent and you're not strong, it's going to get to a point where to be chanting will be affected. Because Maya does not have you just fall down from, you know, like that, down, straight down. It's always gradual, a little bit taken off, a little bit taken off, a little bit taken off, and so on. And then you get to a point where you realize there were so many things that you used to do, and you were very excited about devotional service, and now, as a devotee, and now you're not. So, yes, it's delicate, and while we are at the point in ISKCON where we don't have our own Varnashram and actual training, you know, post-high school situations, we have to be very careful where we go in order to get protected. The next best thing is to make sure that there's a devotee that you can associate with where you are if you have to leave home. The association is what keeps us still in Krishna consciousness. If Bhai Maharaj couldn't do it when he was by himself, that's a good lesson for us.
I want to piggyback on that. I'm sorry, 1 minute. And just like you said, because Jagannath Maharaj couldn't do it, but then we have kids that say, but I got life figured out with that. What do we do? Dear Krishna is smiling at me because he knew when I had this discussion. I mean, if Jagannath Maharaj couldn't do it, when we have students that say, devotee kids saying, but that I got life figured out. I got this. What's your advice?
There are young adults that, because, you know, the body is fairly young, they can do quite a few things. They tend to think that the answers are all there. I remember there was a program which was in Washington, D.C. Devotees get together, and actually they were single devotees at that time. We're talking about marriage and different things in devotion, sir, in being a Hare Krishna devotee. And one guy who was about almost 40 at the time made a comment that I still remember. He said that when I was in my 20s, I thought that I had it all figured out. People were telling me that no, but I mean, the solutions were there. I could see it. And so I couldn't see how that anybody would think that I don't know how to figure my life out. Until I went, and he's saying, I got past 30, 35, and looked back at my 20s, and I realized I didn't know much. I thought I knew. He was laughing at himself, literally, which is sort of taking it lightly. And so he was just trying to make a point. But the important thing is, maturity comes over time. And believe you me, there's a lot to learn. There's a lot to learn. And so in order to come back to your point, in order to protect your devotion, you will really need to have access to devotion in terms of a person or persons in order to protect your devotion. Otherwise, it's quite difficult. I'm saying it's not impossible. I'm not saying that, but Maya can challenge you more when you're by yourself without, you know, help. So figure out, at the very least, electronically, how you're going, if you're going to go away to university without association. You have to figure out a way in which to get association. At the very least, it has to be electronic. At the very least, if you have no choice at all, the profession you want to get into means you go to this particular university and nobody else is there, then you might as well use Zoom and all those to connect with the buddies seriously. But there has to be a connection. Well, fortunately now, there's the electronic part of it too, so it can be done. But to cut off and say I'm on my own, but after 4 years, I don't know. You may graduate, but I don't know what your devotion is going to be at that point. Because it's quite difficult. I mean, just being frank with you, it's not the easiest thing at all to be by yourself in a devotee, around a sea of non-devotees. Very difficult. Hare Krishna. Any other questions or comments?
I have just a comment on a question. When our Hindu congregation goes out in a different university, different places, they can have the plan, they should continue their notion and have the Buddhist credit group and grow from there instead of, you know, have the body of let me enjoy this in the 4 year. They can have the plan to, I'm going to practice my devotion. I have a plan to, you know, take forward in the place wherever I am by the guidance of the Lord or the
by the guidance of?
Other temples are nearby Bodhi Association.
Yeah.
I mean, they can have that plan, like, while they are there, they are practicing their devotion, they can spread and have a study group and have a small group there to spread the
Buddhism. Absolutely. I mean, if you can start one where more people are interested in devotion when they get, then you've created a devotee association.
Exactly. And all the universities have this kind of environment.
So yeah, if you're going to be by yourself and you can start your good self-starter, then sure.
Yeah, then sure.
Yeah. It's not true for everybody though, but that's why I was saying that, yeah. Yeah, it is possible to start one on your own too. And there are people who've done that, especially the Prabhupada sent devotees to different countries to go start Krishna consciousness there. Yeah, so that's also there. I'm glad, yeah, you brought it up. It's an important connection to this also. So the bottom line is, you have to have the Bodhi Association.
Yes.
Or create the Bodhi Association. That's what it boils down to. But by yourself, that's going to be difficult. Without association. Final question? Okay. Kantra Srimad Bhagavad Gita ki, Chira Bhagavad ki, Itai Gaurav Prabhanande.